If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Psalms. I'd like to read from the 118th Psalm, Psalm 118. I encourage you to look at God's holy word as we try to read and study this morning. The passage of Scripture that's on my heart is primarily talking about some of the works of God, some of the marvelous things that God does, how we ought to see those works. We need to be looking at the works of God. We need to be beholding the works of God and how we ought to marvel at those things. You cannot, I believe it's impossible for you to look at the works of God, behold the works of God, without marveling, being amazed at the works of God. And then that will also cause you then to praise God and worship God and glorify God because of His marvelous works. And let me say this. I think that it's marvelous, the big things and the little things that God does in our lives. Someone called me this past week. It was Sister Donna Walker, and she and Sister Heather had been, you can imagine, making preparations for a wedding and all the stress that they've been under and all the problems that they've been having, but she called me one day just rejoicing, said, "You know, in the midst of all of this stress, in the midst of all of the anxiety and everything else that we've been going through," she said, "we were in Albany, and we were trying to get some things that we needed for the wedding, and running behind schedule and hot, and just everybody was kind of on needles, and they were going down the road, and Sister Heather knew that this particular place had something called a smoothie. And Sister Heather said, "Mama, why don't we stop and get a smoothie?" And she said, "Well, you know, those, I just don't think that," Sister Donna's very thrifty, and she said, "they're like $3 a piece, and I just don't think that, we ought to spend that much money on something right now." You just spent so much on the wedding, you can't afford a smoothie right now. So, she said, "I went on by that," and Sister Heather said, "Well, Mama, I really, really wanted a smoothie." And so Sister Donna said she finally decided, "Well, she's getting married next week. She's going to be gone, so I'll turn around." So she went back and went in the store, and they were giving away the one kind of smoothie that Sister Heather likes. They were giving those away that day. And Sister Donna called, and just her cup was running over. She said, "Brother Billy, to think about the love of God, that in the midst of all of our troubles and problems and all that we're going through, that God would care so much that He would cause me to turn around and go back and for that store to be giving away her favorite kind of smoothies that day. She said, "God just spoke to my heart and said everything is going to be all right. Even down to taking care of the price of a smoothie." Listen, brethren, that's the power of God. And you might say, "Oh, that's a coincidence and everything else." No, I don't believe that for a moment. I believe it shows the power of God. It shows the love of God. It shows in the midst of all of our troubles and all of our problems, it just spoke words of assurance to her that God is looking at all these big things that are going on. God knows all about those big things. God knows about the little things, and just to prove that He was going to take care of them and all the big thing of the wedding, He said, "I'm just going to give a smoothie right here." Now that's something about the marvelous works of God. And it doesn't matter whether you look at the creation of this world or giving a smoothie to you, it doesn't matter how big or small a thing it is that God is doing, if you can see that God is doing something, it'll cause you to praise the Lord. And so that's what this passage of Scripture is all about. In Psalm 118, look please, beginning Psalm 118, we'll begin reading in verse 21. Psalm 118, verse 21, the Word of God says, "I will praise Thee." Let me just back up and read verse 1. I encourage you to go home and read this whole chapter, the whole Psalm. But in verse 1 He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." That's a statement He makes all the way through the psalm. Give thanks to the Lord. Praise God, for His mercy endureth forever. Now come down to verse 21. David says, I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Have you ever prayed and knew that God answered your prayers? You need to write those things down, because I know that God has probably answered every one of your prayers, every one of you who are here, that there have been prayers that God has answered, and I think sometimes we forget, though we knew at the time that God did it, we forget that God has answered our prayers. I'm not saying God answers every prayer and gives everything we want, but I know that there have been many times in my life that God has answered my prayers, and He has answered your prayers many times, and we're so prone to forget that God does hear and answer prayer. So we need to be writing those things down lest we forget. And He says, I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me. Isn't it a marvelous thing that God would even hear our prayers? Isn't that amazing grace? That God would take such mortal, sinful creatures as we are, and that God, through Christ Jesus, that God our Father would even hear our prayers. That's a marvelous work right there. He says, I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Verse 22, the Word of God says, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Now, this is repeated in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. Jesus makes it plain that this verse of Scripture is talking about, it's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And it says, the stone which the builders rejected, that same stone has become the chief cornerstone. Now, who is that stone that the builders rejected? It's Jesus Christ. He was rejected by men, and yet God has made Him the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation of the church. He's the head of the church. He's our all in all. And so then the next verse says, this is the Lord's doing. What's the Lord's doing? In its context, what does this scripture mean when it says, this is the Lord's doing? What is? That stone that the builders rejected, Jesus Christ, Him becoming the chief cornerstone, that's the work of the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. It's a marvelous thing, and we need to think about that and look at it and study it. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Do you hear what He's saying there? It's marvelous in our eyes. I would just ask you this question this morning. Is it marvelous to you that the stone which the builders rejected, is it marvelous to you? Have you ever marveled at the one that Jesus, the one whose name is Jesus, being rejected by men, yet He was lifted up and highly exalted by God? We ought to be marveling at that. This psalmist marveled at it before it ever took place. We, through the eye of faith, can look back and see that indeed the stone which the builders rejected, that God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We ought to marvel at the power of God. When people and men are rejected by men, God can lift them up. Isn't that a marvelous thing? This is the Lord's doing. Now that's the first thing I want you to remember. This is the Lord's doing. And everything that God does, if we will have the ability to see what God is doing, we will say like David does right here, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What did Sister Donna Walker call to tell me that day whenever she called to tell me about that smoothie? She called to tell me, this is the Lord's doing. God did this. And it's marvelous in my eyes. That was giving glory to God. It was praising God. It was worshiping God. It was thanking God. It was saying, like the first verse of this psalm says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Is God good to us? God blessed Brother David's mother to come through a very difficult situation the other night. God spared her life. And we can look at that situation and all that went on there and say, this is the Lord's doing. God's the one that spared her life. He's the only one that could spare her life. He's the only one that could keep her alive. He did keep her alive. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. And all over this congregation, we could go to one after another that we could identify, and you could stand up and you could say, God has been working in my life this week. God has done things for me this week. God has done marvelous things for me this week. And that's the reason as we come to the house of God this morning that we want to come and say, give thanks unto the Lord and worship God. God has done things for me. It's the Lord's work. It's not just the work of men. It's not just some coincidence. It's not some chance happening. This is the Lord's work, and it is what? It is marvelous. Well, it's good. Yes, it is good. But it is marvelous in our eyes. That is, I see what God is doing. That's one of the main things I want you to think about. Do you see what God is doing? Do you see? You know, so many times God is doing things and people don't even see what God is doing. God is working in our lives. This is the Lord's doing. We need to pray, God, open my eyes. Help me to see the Lord's work. Help me to see what the Lord is doing. Help me to see how God is guiding me and directing me. Help me to look back and see that it is not in man to direct his steps, but God has been directing our footsteps. God has been guiding us. God has been guiding you, and God has been blessing your life. And you need to just stop and say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous what God has been doing. What God has been doing in all ages of the world are marvelous. I'll tell you, you look back at the beginning of this world and the creation of this world, was that a marvelous work? Was it the Lord's doing? Do men want to teach, and do our public schools often teach today, a lie, trying to rob God of the truth that God created the heavens and the earth? I'll tell you, brethren, anybody that wants to compromise on the 6 days of creation, they're wanting to compromise on the power of God, that God can just speak and it's done. God spoke this world into existence, and it's in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. And we need to praise God, and we need to pray, God, help me to look back. Because when I look back and I read Genesis chapter 1, and I see the power of God manifest in the creation of this world, I want to praise God. I want to give glory to God. I want to say like David did right here, that is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Isn't it marvelous that God can take dust, the dust of the ground, and form a man, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul. You begin in Genesis chapter 1, and you go all the way through Revelation 22, and do you know what you'll see all throughout the Word of God? You'll see, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. You know what the sad thing is? What do you think the sad thing is? We don't see it. We don't see it. That's it. We don't see it. Because I don't believe you can even see what God's doing without praising the Lord. I don't believe any child of God can really look at what God is doing and see that it's the work of the Lord without responding in praise and glory, giving glory to God and giving thanks to God. It's the Lord's doing. You need to recognize, you need to see, it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Brethren, it's a marvelous thing what God is doing today. Did you know, as we're talking about celebrating Independence Day and the founding of our nation, you know what I can tell you about the founding of our nation? You know what history, true history, you know what it'll declare to you? It'll declare this, the founding of our nation, our founding fathers, the beginning of this great land, and all that God did for us in the beginning of this world, and the forming of the Constitution of the United States. You go back and look at that, and you study the truth that's in that, and you know what you will declare? You'll declare, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. You cannot read about the founding of our nation and what our founding fathers had to say. You can't read about the laws that our land was established on in the founding of our nation. You can't read all of that without seeing that was the Lord's doing. Did you know that? And that's what we want to think about Wednesday, especially as we think about Independence Day. It's not about fireworks. It's not about just all kinds of natural things that we enjoy. We can enjoy those natural things, But our focus needs to be rejoicing on looking and seeing and declaring, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. I never read about the founding of our nation that I don't rejoice in the Lord and in the power of God in forming our great nation. I thank God that He took men and women that loved Him and put Him first. I thank God that He proved that His Word is true by taking people that loved God and feared God with all their heart, and He lifted them up and He guided them and He gave them wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion. Brethren, there's such a difference in America today and in 1776, it's virtually impossible to see and believe that we're the same nation that we were in 1776. God's going to show us another marvelous work. The same God that raised us up is the God that's going to bring us down. So one thing I want you to remember is that when God's people fail to give Him glory for the marvelous works He's doing in our lives, He'll bring other kinds of marvelous works in our lives. When we fail to honor Him and glorify Him and serve Him and praise Him because of the marvelous works He's doing, the good works that He's doing, God will eventually bring His judgments in our lives. And when God brings His judgments in our lives, do you know what every knee will do when God brings His judgment? Every knee, whether they are children of God or not, every knee is going to fall down. Brethren, when God begins to snatch the rug out from under us and brings our nation to its knees, you will not find a man able to stand. No one can stand under the presence and the power and the pressure of God. And it'll be a marvelous thing when we fall. And fall we shall, except we repent. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. I want you to go back with me to Psalm 19 just a moment. Back up in your Bibles to Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, David makes this statement. Psalm 19, verse 1. I want you to listen. We're talking about this is the Lord's work. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. I want to ask you a question. Why do people who have cancer drive so far to come to God's house? Why do people who have cancer, why do they put forth such an effort to be in God's house? Why are some of you that are very sick today, why are you in God's house? Why are some of you that have such great problems, why are you in God's house? You're here because you want to praise the Lord for His wonderful works to the children of men. Why are these people from the nursing home, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people from the nursing home that are in wheelchairs besides those that are here, why do they put forth such an effort to be in God's house? Tell me why. What's the reason that they put forth such an effort? And I doubt that there's a person in this congregation that's put forth as much an effort as some of those who are here this morning. Why do they do that? Why do you do it when you don't feel like going to the house of God? When you're sick, when you're discouraged, when you're despondent, why do you go anyway? It's because you know what God has done for you, and you want to glorify God, you want to give God glory, you want to thank God, you want to praise the Lord for His marvelous works. Praise the Lord for His goodness and for His marvelous works to the children of men. Oh, that men, I think it's the 107th Psalm, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His marvelous works to the children of men. I want us to think about this as the Lord's doing. Psalm 19, verse 1. Look in your Bibles now. Psalm 19, verse 1. The Word of God says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. Let me tell you something, brethren. Sometimes you're going to have troubles. Sometimes you're going to have problems. Sometimes the weight of this world is going to weigh on your shoulders so much that you don't think you can go one step further on. I'll tell you what happened to me this week. In the midst of some troubles and problems, I walked outside in the yard and was just praying and trying to commune with the Lord. And I looked up in the sky and this huge full moon. I began to see it. And I began to think about the power of God. The heavens, the scripture came to my mind. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. You know what that does to all the problems and troubles you have? You know what that does? You know what it did for me? It just kind of put things in perspective. You know, these problems that look so big and the troubles that we think we just can't stand the pressure anymore. You just go out and you lift up your eyes to heaven and you begin to look at the marvelous and great works that God has done. And you begin to say, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. You look at the marvelous things that God has done, and you say, like David did in Psalm 118, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. I'll tell you, brethren, when you start looking at the handiwork of God and the finger work of God in this world, I picked up a flower this week and just stood there and looked at the petals of that flower and looked at the intricacy of that flower and looked at how marvelous it is that God can make the beauty of flowers. You know who makes all the things, the vegetables, the gardens, and all the things that we have growing around us? You know who it is that makes all those things? It's the marvelous work of God. That's exactly right. This is the Lord's doing. You get out in your garden, you look at what's growing, you know what you ought to say? This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. We just take it for granted. I'll tell you, it's a marvelous thing that you can take one little seed, put it down in the ground, and it grow up, and so much come out of one little seed. Isn't that a marvelous thing? You can take one little pear seed, or whatever kind of seed. You take a seed and you put it in the ground. There are some of those seeds that for years and years and years with fruit trees, they continue to produce fruit after fruit after fruit. What a marvelous thing it is! And we don't even see this is the Lord's doing. And we don't even say it's marvelous in our eyes. But if you can never see it's the Lord's doing, what will you say? This is marvelous in our eyes. And you look at the animal world. You know, I thought about dogs and cats some this week, and just thinking about this verse, this is the Lord's doing. We have all kinds of wild animals. We're nearing hunting season, and some of us in this congregation are looking forward to deer hunting. I'll tell you, one of the most marvelous things in the world is to sit in a tree and listen whenever it's dark, and just listen to the noises and the sounds when you're sitting in the tree when it's dark, and you start thinking about all those different animals and creatures that God has made, and you're sitting there and you're thinking about the wondrous works of God in creating all of the animal world. And then the light begins to shine, and you begin to hear and see different animals. There are some kinds of animals that are nocturnal. They come out at night, and you can't necessarily see them when you're sitting in the deer stand. But when the light begins to shine and the turkeys fly right down under your stand and they begin to walk around and feed on the ground, you think, what a marvelous thing it is that I look at that ground and I don't see any food for those turkeys. And yet here's 16 turkeys out there just going around and they're finding food that God has prepared for them. And then God sends you a big buck along. It's a marvelous thing, brethren. It's a marvelous thing. It is marvelous. The beauty of nature is a marvel, isn't it, Brother Travis? Isn't it amazing? Been with Brother Travis a couple of times when he's killed some big deer. It's a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing. But I was thinking about dogs and cats. Thinking about those wild animals. But I was talking about, you know, it's a marvelous thing that an animal like my dog. And there's nobody probably, other than my wife, probably loves her more than I do because she feeds him and takes care of her more than I do. But, you know, a dog's a marvelous thing. A cat's a marvelous thing, aren't they? Aren't they marvelous? Isn't it marvelous that God can make creatures like that, that are domesticated? You know, you have a lot of wild animals, but then you have animals that we call domesticated. They're not inside animals necessarily, but they're pets. So we call them pets. Isn't it a marvelous thing? Isn't it marvelous? Have you ever seen a dog or a cat that just looked like they loved you? It looked like they knew what you were going to say and knew what you were going to do. And it looked like they've got They've got something. I don't know what you can call it. I don't know the name to put with it. I'm telling you, though, I can look at those animals, and I think it's a marvelous thing. Little Olivia Kate, she's how old, two? Now that dog, my dog, she'll jump up on me, and she'll do all kinds of things. Somebody can walk in the backyard, she probably weighs 60 or 70 pounds. She'll jump up on adults, and she'll do that. But you know what happens when a child comes along? She gets right down. She won't dare jump up on a little child. She'll get right down on the ground and just crawl up to them. Little Olivia Kate will open the back door. That dog knows you don't walk in that back door. You can open the door. I don't have to worry. Just open the door. The dog's not going to come in. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? What do we call them? Dumb animals? That a dumb animal knows don't cross that line. There's a threshold right there. You don't cross that line. She'll get right up there. Just want to come in. Olivia Kate, 2 years old, go stand at the back door. Put her arms around the dog. Just love the dog. Here's a big dog. That dog has enough sense to know, don't you mess with that little girl. That dog knows, don't you jump up on that little girl. Don't you hurt that little... Isn't that a marvelous thing? And all of you got... Or not all of you, but some of you have pets. And isn't it a marvelous thing to watch? This is the Lord's doing. That God would put some things in that animal. And that animal sometimes acts better than humans. Did you know that? It's a marvelous thing. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know what David said? I want you to back up before this. Psalm 8. I want you to back up to Psalm 8. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. In Psalm 8, I want you to listen beginning in verse 3. Psalm 8, verse 3. Listen, brethren. When you have troubles and problems, you know what you need to do? You need to get out and look at the sun and the moon and the stars, and you look at the handiwork of God. You look at the finger work of God. It'll help you set your priorities in a different way. It'll minimize your problems and your burdens. The Lord lifted burdens off of me when I just looked up and saw that moon and thought about, and I want, you know what I wanted to sing? I wanted to sing, How Great Thou Art. Now, if God can create the sun and the moon and the stars and all there is in nature, can't He take care of our problems and our troubles? Amen. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 8, here's what David says in verse 3. David says, When I consider thy heavens, you know whose heavens they are? They're His heavens. They're God's heavens. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy... Now, what did he call it in Psalm 19? He calls it the handiwork of God. What does he call it here? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. Well, that's just the finger work of God. That's just something minor. You know, sometimes you talk about bringing finger foods to come and have fellowship. Do you expect some big roast and a big pot of turnip greens and things like that when you bring finger foods? No. You'd expect just little sandwiches and things like that. Finger foods. Listen, when you talk about the beauty of the heavens, David says here, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. This is just the finger work of God. And yet, they're marvelous in our eyes, aren't they? He says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained... What is man that thou art mindful of him? Isn't it a marvelous thing that God would be concerned about man? That's what David's saying here. He says it's marvelous that the God of heaven and earth, the one who just with his fingers, just by his voice, he spoke this world into existence. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What an amazing thing that God does care about you as a man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. He doesn't just think about us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou, what? Visitest him. You ever had God come visit you, Brother Parnell? God ever come visited with you? Yes, He does. He comes and visits with us, doesn't He? The Word of God says in the Ephesian letter, He lifts us up and blesses us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. He comes down. You read Revelation chapter 21, and the Word of God says we, in the kingdom of heaven, that we enter into a marvelous era where God comes down and dwells with men. Oh, I thank God I thank God that one day I'm going to go up there and dwell with Him there because of His amazing grace. But I'm also thankful that He comes down and dwells with us here. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. It's amazing that the God of heaven and earth, who's perfect and holy and righteous in every way, that's what David is saying here, it's amazing to me, that the God who created all of the heavens and the earth, the God who's perfect and righteous and holy, it's amazing. What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that Thou visitest him? David's saying, I can't even comprehend of such a thing, that God would come dwell with me. Does God come dwell with you sometimes? This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. You go home and read the rest of this psalm, and it talks about how God is the one that gave man dominion over the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and all the other things. And he's saying it's an amazing thing what God has done in making man a little lower than the angels, but giving man dominion over all the things in this world. And let me just pause right here and say, let me tell you something very clearly. There is a major difference in man and animals. I do thank God for pets and all these other animals. But listen, there's some false, major false teachings today that there's no difference in life. There's a major difference in life. Plant life is different than animal life. Animal life is different than human life. Humans are different, and there are some of the humans who are children of God, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know who makes a difference in the animal world and the plant world? It's God that makes that difference. You know who makes a difference in the animal world and human beings? It's God that made the difference. God's the one that put man above animals. It's not because we're smarter. It's not because we're better. It's because of the will of God and the wisdom of God that God has made man better. And that's what David's doing right here. He's saying it's a marvelous thing that God would even think about man, and that God would visit man. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. You go home and read Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. You'll read about the marvelous work of God in creating man in the womb. There's at least one, maybe more here, but there's at least one that has a baby inside of her this morning. And that baby that's inside of her, did you know that baby can hear the sound of the preaching right now? Did you know that? That baby can hear the sound of this preaching. That baby has feelings. That baby not only has physical feelings, that baby has emotional feelings. You say, oh, how can you say such a thing as that? Because the Word of God tells me about John the Baptist while he was still in his mother's womb, that when he heard the salutation of Mary and Elizabeth, that babe leaped for joy while he was in the mother's womb. That baby, that unborn child, was being formed by God. And that baby already had feelings and emotions, and what a marvelous thing it is. The development of a child, it's a marvelous thing to me that God has made us in such a way that a woman can have a baby. It's a marvelous thing that a baby can be inside of a woman and be being fed by that mother. It's God that's feeding the baby through the mother. It's a marvelous thing. Childbirth is a marvelous thing. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Look at the works of God. You know what you'll do if you look at the works of God? You'll praise the Lord. You'll marvel, and you'll praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Go with me to one other scripture, if you will. Turn with me to... Let me just mention one, and then we'll close with Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at Mark chapter 5. A lot of other scriptures that we could look at, but I want to mention 1 John chapter 3. Listen carefully. Brethren, it's a marvelous thing that we're even humans, and it's also a marvelous thing that God, in His mercy and His grace, that God would allow us to be called the sons of God. If you know anything about yourself, if you know what a sinner you are, you'll be absolutely amazed that God could love you. Now, I know there's some people that think they're so good, they deserve for God to love them. They're just ignorant. Did you know that? There's not a human being, there's not a person on this earth that deserves the love of God. Every single person in this world deserves eternal hell. But because of the amazing grace of God, God has chosen a people so great that no man can number. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. You know, some people who hear the doctrine of election, they say, oh, I just don't believe God would do such a thing as that. Well, you can't read God's Word and deny such a thing as that. It is a marvelous thing. And it's not a few. There are some people that God just chosen a few people. Brethren, it's a people so great that no man can number. Out of every nation and kindred and tongue and family and tribe, God chose a people before the foundation of the world, and God predestinated them to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And did you know that the devil and all of his angels cannot separate even one of them from the love of God? This is the Lord's doing. You understand that? That's the Lord's work. Eternal salvation is 100% the work of God, not of our works, not by our works, not according to our works. It's the work of God. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous. Is the doctrine of election marvelous to you? Amen. Is the doctrine of predestination marvelous to you that God can, before the foundation of the world, you know, God declared, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, I believe, that God declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Brethren, whatever God has decreed will happen, it will happen. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Do you marvel at redemption? Oh, brethren, to think about Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, to think about the Father loving us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ came into this world. And He died for us. And He redeemed us from our sins. Have you ever been to the cross of Calvary and seen what Jesus did for you? God not only chose you and predestinated you, He redeemed you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He gave His only begotten Son to save His people from their sins. Isn't it a marvelous thing that God came to you and quickened you and made you alive? Isn't that a marvelous thing? You know what your condition was? You know, some people paint this picture. God wants you to get born again. And He's got His hand stretched out. And if you'll just take His hand. Oh, Brother Dennis, if you are dead in trespasses and sin, but if you'll just take His hand, you can get born again. That's a lie from the devil, brethren. It may sound pretty, it may sound good. It just contradicts the Word of God. You know what my condition was when God came to me, and your condition was when God came to you? You were not sick. You were not, and there was not a pleading God. There was not a God that wanted to do something, but He couldn't unless you would let Him. I'll tell you, the sovereign God came to you while you were dead in trespasses and sin, and God said, life. He put life in you. You were dead, and you were born of the Spirit of God. This is the Lord's doing. I want you to understand, the new birth is the Lord's doing. Do you know that? The new birth is the Lord's doing. It's not my doing. It's not your doing. It's not by the will of man. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's the power of God that causes somebody to be born of the Spirit of God. And everyone that was chosen by God, predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, every one of those that were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, every one of them are going to be born of the Spirit of God, quickened by God, without the help or aid of man in any way. Why? Because it's the Lord's doing. It's a work that God has reserved unto Himself. And men can deny it. Just like they deny the creation, they can deny everything else in God's Word. What men think and what men believe and what men teach doesn't change the truth of the Word of God. We were dead and God came and quickened us. This is the Lord's doing. I'll tell you, me being born of the Spirit of God is a marvelous thing. God came to me when I despised Him. He came to me. He turned me around. One day He's going to take me home to be with Him forever. Brother James Barnard, dear saint of God, he's home with the Lord right now. What a blessing. You know, how can somebody die and not be dead? Well, it's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord's doing. Yeah, his body doesn't have any life in it right now, but that's not James Barnard. You know where James Barnard is right now? He's home with the Lord. The very moment we die, the Spirit returns to the Lord that gave it. That's a marvelous thing to me. I'm thankful God's told us about it in His Word. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's a marvelous thing. You remember after there was a demonic man that was healed by Jesus, do you remember what Jesus told him to do? He says, go home to thy friends and tell them how marvelous things. Go home and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you. You know, I can tell you a lot of the great things that God's done in His Word, but I can also tell you a lot of great things God's done for me. It's the Lord's doing. Isn't it, Sister Valerie? It's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. May God help us to worship Him and praise Him. May God help us to slow down and start looking at the Lord's works, because then you'll praise Him if you see His marvelous works, is my prayer for Christ's sake.